Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's video, we're talking about coal. The EU has proposed an outright ban on the purchase of all Russian coal, and in this video I want to investigate the potential implications of that. Now you're probably sitting there thinking, coal, are you kidding me? Why are we talking about coal? Nobody uses coal anymore. That's something that dates back to the 70s and the 80s. But I think you'll be surprised in this video in terms of how much coal is still being used by developed countries. So we know that China has been building a lot of coal power stations and increasing its usage, but there is still a high dependency all around the world for producing electricity from coal. And over the last 12 months or so, we've actually seen coal making a comeback. It's growing in popularity, and that's driven predominantly by price. As the price of all of the other energy products has risen, it's made coal become more cost-effective again. And countries are now using their coal-fired power stations more, and they're seeing it as a way of filling the gap as we move away from Russian gas. So in this video, we'll have a quick discussion about coal itself. We'll talk about the environmental impacts of coal. We'll look at the usage right now across the world. We'll have a look at what's been happening with the price of coal and which countries are the main exporters. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think is likely to happen over the next 3 to 6 months and the impact on the global economy of this ban by the European Union. So before we get into all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video if you're enjoying the content, and also to subscribe if you haven't done so already. And don't forget that I always include chapters in these videos, so if there's a section you're not that interested in, it's really easy to skip over it. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look in the description below, where you'll find links to both Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. Coal is a non-renewable fossil fuel that takes millions of years to form. Coal derives its energy from carbon, which was stored in plants that lived hundreds of millions of years ago, and over time those plants were converted into sedimentary rock from pressure and heat underground. Coal is usually found deep underground and needs to be mined. Coal is burned to release its energy, but alongside the energy it also releases the carbon back into the atmosphere. This graphic shows the life cycle of coal, and as we move along this scale, there are increasing levels of carbon and thermal capacity, with anthracite being the highest ranked level of coal. So coal was really the OG of all of the fossil fuels. It was the first that was used widely across the world for heating and for generating electricity. But the problem with coal is that it's got a lot of trapped carbon within it. And as that carbon is released into the atmosphere, it creates greenhouse gases and environmental issues. And over the last 30 or 40 years, there has been a movement away from coal because of that environmental impact. This table shows the amount of carbon dioxide that each form of fossil fuel releases when it is burned for fuel. And you can see that the two most attractive forms of coal for heating are right at the top of this chart, followed by diesel, gasoline, propane, and natural gas. And as you can see from the figures on the right, coal produces roughly around double the amount of carbon dioxide compared with natural gas. So as a direct result of the environmental impact of burning coal, a lot of countries have been moving towards natural gas power and electricity over the last 20 years or so. However, there is always an economic factor to bear in mind when you're looking at power generation. In addition to the purchase price of coal, coal-fired power stations also have to pay for their environmental impact. And there's a variety of ways that this is done all across the world. Most power stations have to purchase a carbon permit, and this is essentially a way of taxing all of these power stations to make sure that they're offsetting the amount of environmental damage they're doing. And over the last 10 years or so, the coal-fired power stations had to pay large amounts for these carbon permits, and that meant that they became more expensive than the gas power stations. However, over the last 12 months, as the price of gas has increased significantly, coal has started making a comeback. And in a lot of countries around the world, it's actually now cheaper to be able to produce electricity using coal than it is using gas. In terms of the global usage of coal, this chart shows how things have moved over the last 20 years. Overall, the advanced economies have been reducing their usage of coal, albeit relatively slowly. But that reduction in usage has been more than offset by the other countries in the world. So we can see that from 2005 onwards, China has become by far the largest user of coal. But it's not just China. If you look at the graph labelled Other, there has been a consistent rise in usage in other countries as well. So that's the overall trend. But if we look at what's been happening over the last couple of years, we can see that all three of these charts are now moving upwards. So China is continuing to increase its usage, as are the other countries of the world. But the advanced economies have now also gone back to coal. And this, again, is driven predominantly because it's now becoming more cost effective to use coal again. And that's offsetting the damaging environmental impact of using coal. This chart shows the sources of power generation in the EU over the last 5 years. And you can see from the colours on this chart, there are essentially seven different ways of producing electricity that are used predominantly in the EU. Starting from the bottom, we have coal, then gas, oil, nuclear, hydro, wind and solar. And back in April 2017, coal represented around 12% of the total amount of energy produced by the EU, and that equated to 38,727 gigawatts. Now, if we roll things forward to July 2020, the percentage of coal fell to 5% of all of the energy produced in the EU. And that story is consistent with the move towards cleaner energy and a drive towards reducing the amount of carbon emissions in the atmosphere. However, the increases in the price of gas and also concerns over European dependence on Russian gas has meant that coal has made a comeback over the last 12 months. And if we look at the position from March, we can see that 14% of all of the electricity for the EU was produced using coal, and that equated to 48,623 gigawatts. So this represents almost a 3 times increase in the usage of coal since July 2020 and a 25% increase in the use of coal compared to where we were in July 2017. So as I mentioned at the start of the video, these are very surprising statistics. I think we all assumed that coal was dead in the water, that this was yesterday's form of making electricity, that nobody was really going to go back to using coal. But as we can see, there is a massive increase over the last 12 months. And this drive back towards coal is being driven predominantly by the economics of the situation. This chart plots the price of coal over the last 5 years. And consistent to what we've just been talking about, if we look back at what the price of coal was on the 30th of December 2020, it was trading at around about $22 per ton. And if you look to the left of this chart, you can see that that was roughly around the average price that it had been trading for the previous few years. Since we have come out of the pandemic and the demand for electricity has increased, we have seen a sharp rise in the price of coal, and it is now trading around about $300 per ton. So the price of coal has gone up dramatically, which doesn't really tally with what I've just been telling you in terms of coal becoming more cost effective. So to put that into perspective, we need to have a look at the price of gas. So this is the same chart for gas over the last 5 years. And this is European gas because the European gas market has been most affected by what's happening in Ukraine right now. So if we look at the end of December, we can see that natural gas was trading at around about 7 euros. The price started to increase as we came out of lockdown. And since the Ukraine crisis has started, it has gone insane. So at one point, we saw gas prices trading above 230 euros compared to around 10 euros, which was roughly around the price that it had been trading at historically. Prices are still moving around, but they are now trading significantly above 100 euros. So we have seen the price of gas increase around 15 times over the last 18 months or so, compared to around 12 times for coal. So the price movement is one of the reasons that there's a move back towards coal. However, alongside the price, there is also the push factor of a lot of countries in Europe wanting to move away from Russian gas, and coal is the most obvious alternative option. So the EU has proposed an outright ban on Russian coal imports for all of its 27 member nations. And the problem that we have is, where are those countries going to source their coal from? These power stations need a regular and large supply of coal. And coal is quite bulky. If you've ever seen coal, if you've ever held a piece of coal in your hand, it's quite large. So when you're transporting coal around the world, it needs large vehicles and vessels to be able to move this coal. China is the world's biggest producer of coal, but it uses all of that coal itself, so it's not exporting any coal. So that's not an option for any European countries to go to source coal. In terms of which countries do export coal, let's have a look at this chart. Now, this chart relates back to 2019 because it's difficult to find updated figures. However, mining of coal is something that takes a lot of infrastructure, a lot of investment, and isn't something that a lot of countries are developing more of. So this table is a very good representation of where the coal market is today in terms of supply. Indonesia is the largest exporter of coal globally. However, the problem with Indonesian coal is that it is classified as low to mid-grade. So therefore, it has relatively low levels of carbon and you require more of it to produce the same amount of electricity. If you compare Indonesian coal to Russian coal is deemed to be hard and high calorific content. So it's really attractive in terms of the power stations because you need less of it to produce the same amount of heat. Australia is the second largest exporter of coal and Russia is the third. And then you can see there are a number of other countries that export, but the amount that they're exporting is significantly less than Indonesia, Australia and Russia. And the other factor to look at on this table is that Russia is the only country that is geographically close to Europe. And the cost of transporting fuel makes up a large part of its price. Because it's so bulky and difficult to move, it becomes less cost efficient if you have to transport it halfway across the world. Russia transports a lot of its coal using railways all across Europe, and that makes the cost of delivery lower and keeps down the overall price for the purchaser. If you're having to transfer your supply network from Russian rail to Indonesian or Australian shipping, then that is going to add a lot more cost because you're going to have to move the coal from the mines onto the ships and then off the ships into the ports and then from the port to the point of delivery. And in terms of transportation, every time you need to touch a product and move it onto a different form of transport, it will add extra cost. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, hopefully through the course of this video, you've now realised how important coal remains for power generation in the EU and also across the whole of the world. But predominantly today, we're talking about the EU because the EU has just announced this ban on Russian coal imports. And a lot of countries in Europe are dependent on that Russian coal. Firstly, it's the cheapest form of coal that they can find because the delivery costs are lower compared to other forms of coal. And secondly, it's ease of transport. We have got an infrastructure set up at the moment that delivers large volumes of coal directly to these power plants. There are alternative sources that they can go to find some more coal, but it will add more cost because the transport costs will be much higher if you're bringing it from a different continent. And there's also the logistics of how do you deliver massive volumes of coal to your power plant, which may be sitting in the middle of Germany or the middle of Poland and a long way from any ports where that coal is being delivered into. So it's not going to be easy to switch out the supply chain of this coal. But another factor is that if we start seeing an increase in demand for coal from Indonesia and Australia and the US, then that's going to drive up prices further. And the only reason that people are using coal right now is because it's more cost effective. It's gone down in price relative to the price of gas. And so there's been a movement towards it. But if the price of coal goes back up, then that might mean that people move back towards gas. But the problem we've got with that is that everybody wants to move away from using the Russian gas in Europe as well. So we've got a conundrum here that if we go towards coal, it drives up the price and therefore makes gas more effective. But if we go back towards gas, we need to find other suppliers other than Russia. And that's likely to be liquefied natural gas, and that's more expensive. And so that will drive up the cost of gas. So people may then go back towards coal, and it drives up the cost of coal. So the message that I'm trying to get across to you here is that what we are facing is increases in the price of energy. Because all of these raw materials are now in more demand. As we move away from one of the biggest suppliers to Europe, it's increasing demand for other countries. countries, and that will increase the price. And that will then increase the price of electricity. And the price of electricity feeds into the price of everything, because all companies, all manufacturers, all businesses use electricity, and therefore they will need to pass on that increased cost to in terms of their products, and the end price will go up, and that will mean more inflation. And as you'll know, if you follow this channel, inflation is currently at its highest level in most countries around the world. And all of the governments are trying to bring down inflation, but what's happening right now in Ukraine is causing inflation to carry on rising. We are seeing the price of everything increasing. And banning the import of Russian coal is definitely going to have an impact in terms of global prices. The price of coal is definitely going to go up. That means the price of electricity is going up. And that means the price of everything that you're buying is definitely on the rise. So once again, the sanctions that have been brought in against Russia because of this conflict are going to have a negative impact on the global economy. This is going to drive up inflation further, which means that we'll probably need to see interest rates increasing more aggressively. That's going to increase the cost of borrowing. That's going to reduce the amount of loans that people take on. It'll reduce the amount of business. And therefore, it's all moving towards the likelihood of a global recession during 2022. All of these factors are making the situation worse. There is no good news coming out of Ukraine right now. There are no positives for the global economy, only negatives. And I think this development right here is going to be one of the biggest negative developments that we see in the short term, because the price of coal and gas moves overnight, and that will feed through into energy costs. Most of you who are watching this video, I'm sure, have seen a rise in your electricity bills recently, and that is going to continue for the rest of this year and probably for 2023 as well. Because there's only a limited amount of coal in the world, it's not easy for a coal miner to suddenly double its production. In fact, it's impossible. So the amount that's available right now is relatively finite, and therefore the price will go up. Simple economics tells you that if demand is increasing for anything and supply is not moving at the same rate, then prices will rise. And that's what we're facing right here. So hopefully you found this video useful, informative, and educational today. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me that thumbs up, and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Hey guys, just a quick update on Joe Blogs 2. We've smashed through the 1,000 subscriber barrier, which is fantastic news. Thank you for that. Thank you to every single person who's subscribed to that channel. I know this is an experiment, and so you're doing me a favor, essentially. You're not really that interested in the videos that are on Joe Blogs 2 at the moment. But hopefully we can develop Joe Blogs 2 into a new, exciting concept that's groundbreaking for YouTube. I'm not aware of any other channel out there that opens itself up to new entrants, to people who want to test the water, come on, post some videos, and who knows, we could find some major YouTube stars of the future through this channel. So hopefully you're finding it fun and interesting to follow me on this journey, but we still need some watch hours. We haven't got close to the 4,000 hours yet. The last time I checked, we had around about 1,000 hours of view time booked up. So I need to keep asking you to watch those videos to get to that 4,000 figure. It's certainly getting lots of hours each day, but 4,000 hours is obviously quite a lot of hours, particularly when there are only 20 something videos on the site. So I'll try and post some more videos to give you something more interesting to watch. But if you could take time to go and click play on one of those videos, you don't have to watch it all the way through. You can go make a cup of tea or go to the shops or whatever it might be. But it would be really helpful if you can clock up 5 or 10 minutes of view time, and across the whole of the channel, all the people who are watching, we should be able to hit that 4,000 hours. And then we can start this experiment for real and see whether or not it can work, whether we can get this channel to become something big and blow up the internet. So thanks again for watching. Thanks again for taking time to listen to this bit. And thanks for watching all the way to the end of this video.